hard to stay on the right track, or just listen for fun to the 101, to the 101, Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Brandon for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRMMDRAHAGA, I think I already said that, FAIRCGASWA, or any of them that are A's.
Or any of the Anons.
Not even for them. We don't even speak that well for ourselves. Good evening. This is Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelley.
And Mark.
Shelley.
Wait.
I
had a frog in my throat.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, I do.
You've been kissing frogs, looking for a prince?
I already got my prince.
Or you've been licking toads trying to get loaded? Ever strike anyone strange on, you know, there's that one toad that if you, like, lick their back, it gives you a hallucinogenic experience? Who the frick ever was the first person to go, hey, let's start licking the back of toads? Never once would that occur to me, to lick the back of a toad.
How did it? The brother of the guy who wraps bacon around a banana.
It would never have occurred to me to steam an artichoke and then scrape my teeth along the underside to get the meat.
That's true. There's other fruits and things like that. Like, what's the, it's a fruit. Is it a persimmon?
Pomegranate.
You know, what the hell? How do you determine the way you're supposed to eat that?
Can you imagine the first guy who tried to eat those one at a time and get the seed out of the middle?
Yeah. I don't know.
Honey, squeeze this into juice. I like the taste of it, but
but the pits are...
Yeah.
A little rough.
Yeah.
Well, you know what that means.
What's that mean, Bruce?
Well, it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze.
They were right on.
And I forgot, and Shelley?
What?
I didn't ask you. How was the squid thing?
It tastes just like sort of garlic bread with cheese in it.
Tell people.
It doesn't really taste like squid. I think they just do that for the color.
Tell people.
What
it was.
Oh, it was a pastry from 85 Degrees. It's a squid ink roll. It's got cheese in the middle. And it's black. It looks like a lump of coal. And I thought I'd be adventurous and try it. And I tried it. And it just tastes sort of like garlic bread with cheese. It doesn't taste any fishy or squiddy or anything like that.
So it's not no calamari kind of flavor.
No.
All right. Well, you probably don't have an 85 Degrees near you, but you probably will someday. There's 2,000 of them worldwide, mostly in Asia.
Yeah, I'd say 1,995 of them are in Asia.
Yeah. And there are going to be 10 more. There's two in Southern California. There's going to be 10 more by the end of the year. We're big fans. They should be advertising with us.
Okay.
All righty.
Any shout-outs?
Well, to everybody before. I mean, I don't know, just...
Yes.
Shout-out to everybody. Hi, everybody. This story actually was sent in by Bill. I thought this was interesting.
We'll be the judge of that.
Marijuana, the headline actually reads, marijuana users have a 16% lower fasting insulin level compared to non-users.
I find that interesting because every time that I smoke weed, I got the munchies and I chowed. Chowed. You would think that the amount of Cheetos I ate
would keep your blood sugar up.
Would have been quite a bit of carbs.
Well,
but maybe it was between the smoking and the eating in between that time.
Well,
possibly.
This actually seems to apply more to type 2 diabetics, so this would be more up Mark's alley.
I was going to say, maybe it's one hit or quitter weed, so you only smoke one hit and you pass out.
Yeah.
Don't eat anything.
No, well, they found that that people that were current marijuana users, that they had lower fasting insulin levels, and they were less likely to be insulin resistant.
So should I be smoking weed?
Well, you could probably talk to your doctor about that pill that they're inventing that doesn't have any like addictive side effects or anything like that.
That doesn't sound like any fun, though.
The synthesized.
Your doctor will probably give you a card.
Can you chop those pills up and snort them?
Sure.
Just checking.
Oh, sorry, I'm yawning again.
I wonder how many people at home just yawned.
In Windsor, Ontario, which is right across the road from, or right across the river from Detroit, because, you know, Detroit isn't, you know, seedy enough.
Wait a minute. When you say right across the, you mean the lake?
Lake, whatever. Water. There's a body
of water.
It's so far across the lake you can't even see it.
You can where this thing is.
Really?
Yes. Right across from Assumption Park. In Windsor, Ontario, they're doing a lot of oil sands refining, where they take the sands that are impregnated with oil and they suck all the oil out of it.
Uh-huh.
That produces a lot of this stuff called, it's black coke. It's the byproduct of the refining process.
Black coke.
I never did black coke.
Sounds good
it's
already.
Not, it's not that kind of coke. In fact, I think that's what Bill wrote in the email. Not the kind of coke you're thinking of.
Oh, look, he knows us too well.
Yeah, we went right there.
Well,
slapped down by Bill before we even said it.
Yes. Interestingly enough, this stuff is it's a byproduct. They can't really use it for anything. It's just basic dirt. I mean, it's a carbon-based dirt. But there's nowhere to put it.
Why don't they just leave it where it's at?
Well, the problem is where it's at is right next to the refinery, which is right across from Detroit. So everybody that lives near Assumption Park now has this view, I saw the picture of it, of a giant black mountain of coke.
And all the heroin users are looking over there going, yeah.
If there please. Was any reason for Detroit to really fall off the map, that's it, because now you don't even have a view. Now you just see a giant pile of Canada's black coke.
Thanks for sharing that.
It must be me.
Was this the story you said you thought was interesting?
No, it was the marijuana.
Oh, okay.
It must be me. I guess the story says you can see it. I'm looking at what I know of the Great Lakes region. It doesn't look like you could see anything on the other side from where Detroit is.
You never know.
Well, then you can go to the story and look at the picture.
I'm going to. is the picture shot from?
From the Detroit side.
Apparently you can.
In
monster telephoto lens.
In Brooklyn, New York.
Of the Dodgers.
On July 20th. They will be holding a smallest penis contest.
James. I'm going to send James as our representative.
You can look it up. There's a Craigslist ad that is seeking less endowed men, and they want to have this contest to prove that good things come in small packages. There will be a talent and evening wear and swimsuit elements of this competition. And the winner will be selected by what they're calling the Small Member Expert Panel. I don't know who's on that panel. It doesn't say.
Bunch of Japanese girls.
Now, they should be... The entrants have to be 21 years or older, and they have to be comfortable getting hosed down by while wearing only skimpy underwear.
Hosed down?
Yes.
With cold water?
Oh, yeah. They're going to get even smaller.
Yeah, really. The winner will receive a crown and the title of 2013 Smallest Penis in Brooklyn.
Be a really tiny crown that he can wear on his head.
2013 Smallest Penis in Brooklyn and the cash prize, which if the winner chooses could be donated to charity. Doesn't say how much cash. I love this line in the story. Presumably there will be no large trophies.
Da-da-da.
Why anybody would want to have this contest, I don't know. That's not made clear in the story.
I'm sending my friend James.
Yeah?
Yeah.
In Maine, police and medical experts are trumpeting their victory over street sales of OxyContin. You know, they've changed the formulation in Oxy, so if you do anything that users you typically do, like crush it or anything like that, it turns into like this viscous gel that can't be used for any, you can't snort it or slam it or anything like that.
Oh, no. I tend to disagree. If it turns into a viscous gel of some kind, I'm pretty sure you could heat it up and slam it.
They're insisting not.
And what?
They're insisting not.
You could still eat it, though.
They're trying to make sure that they've changed the formulation of Oxy so that you have to take the entire pill, which produces much less potent high, apparently.
Than half the pill?
Wait.
Half the pill produces more high than the whole pill?
No, no, no. You have to take a whole pill. You have to take it in pill form. Like, you can't crush it or do anything else to it.
Oh. Six still have the same desired effect, right?
Yeah.
I suppose. Okay. At any rate, so the police in Maine are trumpeting their victory over Oxys. They've been really cracking down on people who are prescribing too much or pill mills and all that sort of things. However, they have noticed a gigantic spike in heroin use.
Yeah, well.
They got rid of the Oxys, so everybody said, okay, well, we'll just take heroin because
we'll
the
back.
High is much the same. And it's cheaper.
Yeah.
So now they've gotten rid of their Oxy problem, and in quite a few areas of Maine, they have a huge heroin problem.
Yeah. Maine is not the first place I think of when I think of heroin issues.
Well, apparently
Detroit's got black coke.
That's true. That's true. And this is also leading to other medical problems because now all of a sudden you got people that are doing IV drugs that don't know anything. You know, they're sharing needles and stuff, so their incidence of HIV and Hep C is like skyrocketing, and the medical community there is kind of in a quandary because apparently in Maine they have like 5 HIV positive people, and now suddenly they have 100. They don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Go back to the old Oxy.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're in Maine, don't share needles.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty good idea no matter where you are. Better yet,
okay.
Not don't do any drugs.
Okay.
Drugs are bad.
Oh, this must be good.
Every time I think about this story.
Shelly's still laughing.
Okay. I'm going to read the actual headline because when I saw the headline, this is actually one I found on FARC. When I saw the headline, I went, what? The headline was, police give patrol cars to civilians. Hilarity immediately ensues. That was the headline. Hilarity immediately ensues.
I'll bet.
Okay.
The police started in Valley Falls, Kansas. Actually, apparently residents are furious, and they're calling for the ouster of most of the upper echelon of the police and other authorities and council members who okayed this. They decided they wanted to start a program called Civilians on Patrol to try to cut down...
Cop.
Yes. Cop.
There you
Civilians
go.
On Patrol. It was going to cut their costs because they wouldn't have to hire so many police officers, and they could have, you know, responsible members of the community taking over. They would be temporarily deputized, they would have a reasonable amount of power and could take some shifts for the police in Valley Falls, Kansas.
Uh-oh. Here it comes.
Well, intention of this was to make kids feel comfortable hanging out downtown because the people that would be patrolling would be like their friends and neighbors. Instead, what happened were the police cars that were handed over to the civilians were immediately commandeered by teenagers who began drag racing and speeding up and down the main street, flashing the sirens and lights, blowing the air horns, putting their girlfriends on their laps while they're driving the police cars and doing donuts on the lawn of the city hall.
Perfect.
Now, where is this?
Kansas.
This is in Valley Falls, Kansas.
There's not a lot to do in Kansas.
Yes.
Not in Valley Falls.
Watch the corn grow.
Apparently,
watch the teenagers do donuts in police cars.
Yes, apparently there were quite a few mailboxes knocked over, some benches uprooted, benches and trees uprooted.
And they found this hilarious.
Well, the reason why why it was so hilarious is this entire time that all of this mayhem is going on, the police could not respond to it because they were back at the station doing paperwork on the new program. So no arrest citations or tickets were given
out.
And
they had no cars to go get them anyway.
They had no cars.
That's funny.
Wow.
Good plan.
After the test run, the police and city council has decided to disband the group, Civilians on Patrol, for the time being.
I wonder why.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Okay, now here's one of those gunshot stories. You know, we've had the horrific tornado in Oklahoma.
Yes.
People died. Tons of damage. It's just, it was a terrible, terrible storm. Well, in Norman, Oklahoma, there was a five-year-old girl who was supposed to have surgery to implant a new cochleal device in her ear so she could hear.
Yep.
She was scheduled to have surgery at the hospital in Moore, Oklahoma. Moore was the town that got completely wiped off the map.
Isn't that the hospital
right.
that got wiped
yes.
off the map,
yes.
too?
Yeah, she was scheduled that day to have her surgery. Instead, they had a tornado. They don't. So
you put a choice, I'd rather have the surgery.
Yeah, so, but this device is very expensive, and they're hard to manufacture, so mm-hmm. it's rare that you have to be on a waiting list for it type of thing. So the hospital's pretty much wrecked, and nobody has any idea where her device is. She was in, like, a neighboring town, so she's okay. While a nurse was going through the rubble looking for personal items,
she
found the device in the rubble, and the girl was able to go to
and
another.
And it works?
And it works. It was still in its original box, undamaged.
Wow.
Yes, and she had the surgery this Friday.
I saw an interview with some people that saw a horse flying through the air. The wind sat the horse down on its legs, and the horse ran away. This horse was flying around in the tornado, and it dropped him on the ground on his feet, and he started running.
Yeah, there are a lot of horses in Moore, Oklahoma. I wonder where they're all at, though.
Well, one of them was on the roof of the local church or something, and one of them hit the ground running.
Yep.
In New Jersey, as another example of just how far into the twilight zone we've gone, the entire New Jersey light rail was shut down for half a day because the police got a report that a man was wearing black pants, a white dress shirt, he had a cast on his arm, and he was armed with a long barrel assault weapon, had gotten onto the train. They shut down all the trains in New Jersey instantly, started scouring surveillance videos, started searching the trains, discovered the man holding an umbrella.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that we've gone a little too far into the Twilight Zone here. If we're going to shut down an entire train
system. I thought it was going to be like a crutch or something.
No, it was an umbrella. Yeah. Okay, we have, do we have time for this?
Sure.
Okay. It's Hero of the Week. Kazoo alert.
Thanks for letting us know ahead of time.
I just did. And I probably am going to post this story on our kids' Facebook pages so that the next time they start complaining about how hard this is, or I don't want to do this, or I can't do this, I'm going to say, oh, yeah? Go read your Facebook page.
Means we have this Saturday Night Live. The Whiners!
17-year-old Chelsea Fierce.
Fierce?
F-E-A-R-C-E. Oh. From Clayton County, Georgia. Just graduated as valedictorian of her high school class. After spending pretty much her entire life in moving from homeless shelter to homeless shelter or living out of her mother's car, she graduated with a 4.466 GPA and a 1900 on her SATs.
Wow.
She wants to be a doctor. She will be studying at Spelman College, studying biology as pre-med. She is one of five children, the rest of whom are all valedictorians or salutatorians.
Salutatorians.
Yes. She was often doing her homework by the glow of her mother's cell phone at night when they didn't have any place to go. And she said she was doing her speech, her commencement speech. She said, I just told myself to keep working because the future will not be like this anymore. You're worried about your home life and then worried about school. You worry about being hungry sometimes and you go hungry sometimes and you just have to deal with it. You eat what you can when you can. She said, don't give up. Do what you have to do right now so you can have the future you want.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Next time the kids start whining.
That is awesome.
Yeah, she wins.
Only in America can a homeless person do their homework by their mom's cell phone light.
Yeah. I don't want to ask how mom afforded a cell phone.
Well, they're five kids, single mother. They had, and mom was working. And there's the big long story. I just put the impertinent parts in here. Mom was working, but never made enough money to be able to afford, like, first and last and all that sort of thing. So, and proud family, didn't want to accept any help from the government, were never on welfare or the dole. They would go to homeless shelters.
Good for them.
Or churches.
And good for them.
Mom would work, the kids would go to school, and if they had to sleep in the car, they slept in the car.
Wow. Salut.
Yep.
To them.
Okay, and I think, let me make sure there's nothing really awesome in the rest of these here.
Oh, there probably is. Give us a good one to round it out with. Not that the Hero of the Week wasn't good.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got one after that one?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I got a few Flores does. Short ones. Thomas Edwin March, the fourth.
Three names.
51
and a
years
title.
Old. Yeah, and a title.
Three names and a number.
Was found naked on a bench at Bunch Beach in Fort Myers.
Bunch Beach.
Bunch Beach.
He was naked, however, he was wearing a laptop, a pair of 3D glasses. He had 3 20-ounce cans of Ice House beer and a smashed cheeseburger with him.
He was wearing a laptop?
Well, on his lap.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
They said the deputies received complaints that there was a, and I'm quoting here, nude dude that was touching himself and was naked on the bench. They arrested him. He could not say why he was nude on the bench. I'm thinking maybe the 320s had something to do with it.
Probably.
There was something more involved, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Something else is going on.
More going on there than meets the eye.
We also have Scott Simon, 24 years old, who pocket dialed 911 while he was talking to a friend about how he planned to murder somebody else.
Whoops. Oh, that's a good idea.
Whoops.
Dispatchers got the entire thing on record, and they arrested him. That's kind
what do
of
you
a
get?
Bummer.
Conspiracy to commit murder?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. How do you freaking pocket dial 911?
Out of all the things you could pocket dial, how do you pocket dial anything?
Yeah.
Phones are much better nowadays. You don't have to go through to dial anything on my phone?
Well, no,
you never know. Shelly picked up a phone today and dialed
and
someone.
And dialed somebody by accident. And all I did was pick it up and plug it into the thing. My phone, when I'm texting someone, all the numbers in my phone are like they each have a source number or whatever. When I'm texting someone, if I'm texting someone like a phone number or any kind of number, a little flag will come up to tell me whose phone number belongs to that, whether it's 1 or 2 or 3
and
or whatever.
If you accidentally touch that, it dials, right?
If I accidentally touch the wrong thing, it'll dial. I'm constantly dialing. And in my car, sometimes I start my car up, my phone syncs up, my car dials somebody.
Oh.
It dialed my sponsor 4 times in one day
Oh.
when I was just driving along.
Yeah,
is it a God shot?
Did you talk
were
to
you
your sponsor?
About, were you thinking about getting loaded?
Yeah.
No, I wasn't thinking about getting loaded, yeah. But I did talk to my sponsor.
As I say, your phone knew.
God shot.
Okay. This is the last one.
Okay.
In Wesley Chapel,
Florida?
Yes.
Well, you know.
Yes, at the grocery store, the Publix parking lot, a woman decided she was mad. She saw another woman, what she thought was interfering with pedestrians trying to get across the street. So she followed this woman, Deborah Streets, the woman that interfered with the pedestrians, followed the woman into the Publix parking lot, waited till she went in the store, and then keyed her car in the shape of a picture of male genitalia.
Oh, a dick pic.
Then, yes, and then went into a convenience store across the street and got them to give her a post-it note, and on the post-it note she wrote, "Hey, I keyed your car. You didn't stop for pedestrians, as is the law. Since there's no cop here to enforce a ticket, this damage should cover the cost of your fine. Have a good day. P.S. Don't be a dick."
Wow.
Ooh. That's a hell of a size post-it note.
Yeah. Why is this one not a Hero of the Week?
Well, no, there was surveillance video in the parking lot. She was identified and arrested.
Oh, that's too bad.
However,
there's no excuse for keying someone's car.
No. And that is the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio. Yeah.
Welcome back.
Your dreams were your ticket out. Come on, Shelley.
Welcome back
to the same old place that you bitched about. See, I thought you would chime right in on that.
Yeah, of course.
So what's the topic anyway? I've forgotten now.
You had a name for it.
Court-ordered insanity.
Court-ordered insanity. We had a friend. Maybe you should tell the story, Shelley.
Oh. We have a friend of ours who's, you know, in early sobriety, again. She was mandated to go to a treatment facility, which she did. She completed the program successfully. She coined out. She's in sober living now, but she is, as part of her agreement with the court system, she must go to outpatient treatment. She was at outpatient treatment the other morning, and they decide they're going to start teaching everyone how to properly clean their rigs out just in case they relapse so they won't get Hep C or HIV from sharing needles.
Mm.
And this triggered her badly. She was in a horrible mood. She couldn't sit there. It was making her really squirrely and antsy, you know, thoughts of using. She informed someone that this was triggering her and she wanted to go to a different class or talk to a counselor or whatever. They wouldn't let her. So she had to sit there, and it made her angry because she felt like she was forced by the court to sit there mm-hmm. in something that was not assisting her in her recovery.
Right, and watching them give the proper way by showing them with syringes,
demonstrate,
you know, how to clean their syringes out. And she's like, I'm fiending while they're showing me, you know, they're showing me drop water and everything, and she's like, it's totally triggering me.
Yes.
Court-ordered insanity. What do you think about that, Mark?
Well, I try to figure out some of the stuff that the courts do. Why do courts take people who get arrested, convicted on some sort of drug or alcohol charges and send them to AA meetings? What if they don't want to be in an AA meeting?
They go to an NA meeting.
I was at a CA meeting one time where a guy was court-ordered to go to the meetings. He was a cocaine dealer. He was trolling for clients while he had to be there.
It was an AA meeting that he was at?
It was a CA meeting.
Oh, it was a CA meeting.
Yeah. You do your best business on Main Street.
That's true.
So he's a coke dealer.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone.
Yeah, break. He was telling everybody they could get great stuff from him.
That almost fits in with the topic from last show.
Yeah, exactly.
You got a guy who's a coke dealer in a meeting telling people he can get them great coke.
Yeah.
Hmm.
We told him it might be a good idea to stop or not come back.
I would think.
Yeah.
I would think. So what do you think about court-ordered insanity, Shelley?
I don't know why you're asking me. I was never court-ordered to do anything.
No, I said, didn't say you were. I said, what is your opinion?
You're show-ordered to have an opinion.
Well, I think that it's sort of become a knee-jerk reaction, especially since Prop 36 in California. You know, they instantly send, you know, I think that quite a few of the people that end up in AA meetings with DUI, with court cards they have to have signed for their DUI thing, a lot of those people are people that are never going to get another DUI. They're not, you know, they probably got a DUI because they're not smart enough drunks. They haven't been doing it long enough to figure out how to drive, drink and drive without getting caught. You know, what did you call it? Amateur hour on New Year's Eve, all the amateurs come out.
Yeah, yeah. Amateur night.
Amateur night.
Well, like in our area, for instance, the area that we live in, if you're going to drink and drive, you should drive on Barranca, you should drive on Glendora Avenue, or you should drive on Lark Ellen. Because if you drive on Citrus, Azusa, Barranca, or Grand, you're 10 times as likely to get cops.
Right. If you drive on Hollenbeck, that's really a good way to get through.
It's a great one.
Okay, not drinking and driving is the best solution.
Well, yes.
Yeah, but we're saying that...
But you were talking about the drunk who's not smart enough not to get caught.
Right, but I'm saying that, you know, I don't think these people are probably alcoholics. They went to a New Year's Eve party.
Mm-hmm.
Totally not something they do all the time. Mm-hmm. And then they end up being court-ordered.
And one more than they thought they did?
Yeah. And they end up in the program. And I don't necessarily think that they need to be there. I think they need punishment. Yeah, sure, because you can't go around drinking and driving. None of us should. But it just seems like that's and that's just the automatic reaction now. I don't think it does them any good. It does. Mm-hmm. I don't think it does the people in the rooms that need it any good.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about the issue you brought up with your friend. And will she do the service that she needs to do and write a letter to the court laying that out? She probably won't.
No, I told her she should talk to somebody higher up in the system.
Talk to the judge.
That's true.
Yeah.
You go to the judge and say, look, you ordered me to be at this thing. I have no problem going, but here's the place you sent me to.
And this is what they're doing. Did. Yeah.
You know,
yeah, because that's our taxpayer dollar. Yeah. We're paying for her to be there.
I'm not complaining about going, and I'll gladly go. But I want you to know that going to what you thought would help me has been the most potentially harmful thing I've done in the last couple months.
Right.
You know.
I got drug diversion at one point, and I didn't get my drug diversion, didn't come through, so I had about 6 months sober. And I went to drug diversion classes, and I'll tell you, out on break, I could have gotten anything I wanted while I was sitting there. I found it humorous that I would go in there with court cards that were completely filled out, and they'd look at me and they'd go, well, you can't get this many meetings. I'm like, oh, no. I can get this many meetings. You may only be able to count X amount of them, but I'm going to get the meetings that I always go to. I just take these cards and get them signed. I'm going with fully filled out cards. Because back then, I'm doing 2 and 3 meetings a day. I had people offering to buy my cards off me. Want to sell me that card? I'm like, I don't know how much you got.
And they haven't yet figured out that if they just buy 3 different pens and get their friends to sign them, that'll work?
Apparently not.
I was trying to keep from sharing that.
Yeah.
Oh, come
we
on.
Don't
like,
usually, we don't usually say that.
Yeah.
Oh,
in meetings.
Yeah, now you just blew it.
Every alcoholic or potential alcoholic that just heard that.
I was making $20 a week signing cards. Thanks, Shelly.
Just got a get out of jail free card from Shelly.
Nice. That's the amazing
going.
Part is these judges. You have to go get this card filled out. Okay, so go home, get a couple pens, sign the whole card and bring it back. There you go.
Yeah. Well, and the funny thing is, I don't know about you guys, but have you ever been contacted by someone in the course asking if you're really the person that runs that meeting?
Nope.
Never.
Well, I heard about a guy, I heard a speaker talking about how the first, he had like 3 or 4 DUIs by the time it was all said and done, and by the time he was speaking, he had a number of years. People were saying that at one point, he had his bartender signing his card.
Well, yeah. Or it says, you know,
two or more are gathered.
I signed Willy Wonka one time.
or it says, you know, secretary.
Yeah.
Well, half the times the treasurers are filling them out. Half the times the meetings have a card signer.
Yeah, who's a newcomer.
Yeah,
how would you even know?
Yeah, I signed Willy Wonka one time to a card just to see if there's any reaction back. There wasn't.
Well, one of the times that I went nuts and ended up at Charter, Bruce signed himself in as Willie Nelson.
No. Robert Plant.
No, it was Willie Nelson. I still have it. I
do
it in my big book.
Oh.
Yes.
Baby, I couldn't love you.
I like to do things like that. Like you call in for dinner reservations. Mm-hmm. I like dinner reservations for Robert Plant, please. What's your name? Robert. Robert Plant. Mm-hmm. A lot of people that hear the show won't even know who Robert Plant is.
True.
Okay.
That's what makes you feel old. Old. When I hear Zeppelin playing at the local grocery store as like the Muzak, I'm like, really?
Muzak, I know.
Really? Been a long time since I rock and roll. And I'm like, this is the Muzak that's in like the elevator at the doctor's office. I'm like, mm-hmm. What happened?
We got old. That's what happened.
If you go to a real busy restaurant, you know, there's going to be like an hour late, hour wait. Yeah, we have four people. Last name, Redford. Just so when you hear them call, Redford, party of four.
You know what you should do? If there's so many people in there, you should say your last name is Fire.
Oh.
Is Fire here? Fire!
Fire!
So many people run out. I'll take his seat.
Yeah.
I'll have what he's having.
Yeah.
So, Shelly.
Yes.
What would your final words on court-ordered insanity be?
I don't know. I think that ever since rehab became the new black, that things are a little loosey-goosey. I think that, you know, I think everyone agrees that the only one that can really get someone sober is themselves. And the jails aren't working. The system isn't working. But they don't know what else to do. So they just keep throwing them at us, hoping that we're going to fix the problem.
I'm sure that many people do.
What?
Get fixed.
I'm sure that some do. I'm not doubting that. I'm just saying that if the courts keep throwing every single, you know, two-bit, one-time offender at us, mm-hmm. it just floods the room with people that don't need to be there.
Hence?
I'm not sure that that's...
The 5% success rate.
Yes, I'm not sure that that's exactly a good thing for anybody.
Mark, final words.
Don't do the crime.
Unless you can do the time.
Those were his final words, and you butted in.
Well, I know, but I was just chiming.
He's chiming in with me.
Chiming in. Joining in the festivities. My final words are, if you're in a drug program or something, and someone does something like that, is showing you the correct way to clean out needles, I would encourage you to talk to the judge about it or to someone a higher up in your group. You need to do that because that is real. I think that's really bunk. I can't imagine being a coke addict or a heroin user and having them schooling you in the way to clean your needles, which is driving you absolutely nuts sitting in there. Mark.
What?
Who is our friend back east?
Bruce.
The other white meat.
Runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can go to recovery101.net. You can scroll down to the 12-Step Gazette link and click on it. It'll take you right to his fine publication, which you can read online. You can get it emailed to you. You can get the subscription prescription, and he'll send it to you via the postal service. If you have a recovery home or a sober living or someplace where many of us sick gather, contact Bruce, and he will send you some hard copies to strew about the facility.
He will. Shelly, someone's listening to the shoe.
Thank you. If you're listening to...
Was that a thank you or a question? Thank you.
If you are listening on iTunes or Facebook or however it is that you're listening, that's great. We appreciate that. But if you could go to recovery101.net, which is our site, and click on one of the shows, click like or permalink. If you are a member, you've just been counted, and we really appreciate that. If you're not a member of Podomatic, you will have a chance to do so. It is free.
And fun.
And you can add us to playlists. You can like us. You can get automatic updates when we post the shows. You can leave topics and comments and things like that, and it would be awesome. So do that, please.
We have... email addresses at recovery101radio@gmail.com. We've got, if you'd like to join the crack advertising staff or buy advertising, recovery101 radio sales at gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure don't. Shelley, who is the lead out music by?
Looking for Trouble.
Looking for Trouble. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Kiss me.